So I just want to be clear. I mean, most of my research involves the development and application of learning algorithms. And I just want to make sure no one's confused between that and learning algorithms. I'm about to start off with a joke, so I thought I'd just okay. So, I kind of regret the title of my talk. I was trying to be a little bit clever and such. But if you look at the press release about this, they list the collection of topics they'll be spoken about, one of which is personal computers. And I can just see myself getting phone calls about whether people should buy Macintoshes or IBMs or whatever. And that's not at all what I mean. I don't mean personal, and that's why the quotes were around. I don't mean personal in the sense of it sits on your desk. What I'm talking about is a number of research efforts here at Rutgers trying to build systems that make computers somehow know who you are. So let me give you sort of a vision for the type of thing that we'd like to be able to develop through the research I'm going to be describing. So I come into my office in the morning, sit down in front of my computer, and I have a window that opens up. That's my daily electronic newspaper. And maybe what will have is some easy things, like it'll go get today's Gilbert off the web, it'll get weather forecasts, things like this. But it'll also maybe put up my important email that I received overnight. Maybe it'll put up some new interesting web pages that appeared. Maybe it'll, and you know, as I'm looking at these web pages, maybe it'll even be smart and get some new ones actively while I'm looking at them. Relevant newswire stories. Maybe what it'll do is it'll analyze doc data from the previous day and maybe make some suggestions for some new docs I need to look at. Maybe even suggest some new videos that are out that I might want to rent tonight. Things like this. Where's the technology right now towards achieving this sort of goal? So the question that this collection of work is going to be looking at is how can we build computer systems that in some sense seem to know the users? I mean, most of our computer systems, we can engineer the environment so that we're sort of, it does things in a way that we like, but still are through careful engineering guides. How can we build computers that really seem to know the users in and of themselves? And in particular, the approach I'm going to be taking is how we can build computer systems that learn from the users. As you're using the system, it's able to learn more and more about you and personalize itself to you. So in some sense, the talk would be self-personalizing software or something. That's sort of the sense of what this talk's about. And I'm going to be talking about research in two specific areas. One area that I'll generally call information filtering, and the other is semantic prediction. And the scenario that I gave you to my morning newspaper, all the different things I've described, the technologies I'm going to be talking about in these two areas are pretty much targeted towards achieving that sort of thing. The one thing I'm not going to be talking about is the area of data mining, which is the area that might go off and look at stock data and be able to suggest new stocks that you should be evaluating. If you're interested in that, there'll actually be a demo of the Discovery Board, a data mining system developed here at Rutgers during the lunchtime demos. And I think there's also a poster up on the topic. This is work that's funded by NSF grant to Thomas Wolinski and myself. Okay, so information filtering. What do I mean by information filtering? Well, I mean, anyone who's used World Wide Web a lot knows there's just an enormous amount of stuff out there, very little of which is really interesting, and we'd like to be able to have a tool that could help us find those web pages that are particularly interesting to you as the user. I mean, what's interesting to me may be interesting to you. Prioritizing email. This might just be anecdotal, but I remember reading once that when the Falkland Islands War broke out, the head of the British fleet had an email system, and he was given, and that first day he received 10,000 email messages, making his email pretty much useless. Well, how can we build systems that can do such a prioritization of email so that that email from the Queen would have stood out? Or, you know. And filtering online news. You know, I subscribe to a bunch of news services, or maybe it's even just net news. For those who still read it, there's just so much information coming in on a daily basis. How can I filter those that are interesting from those that are not? So I'm going to look at a very, very specific example of this, and that is, let's say I'm interested in simply doing email binning. So I get a whole lot of email messages, and what I want to do is I want to group my email messages to each of a bunch of bins that I've labeled a priori. So maybe I have one that corresponds to email for my students, don't have to look at very often. various sorts of email, let's think about one particular problem. I get email sometimes that just announces a seminar that's going to be taking place. How can I fit that into my seminar then? And it turns out that this is a problem that one of our graduate students, Daniel Kudenko, has been looking at in collaboration with William Cohen at AT&T. And the approach that we take is that text categorization. The problem with text categorization is if you give me a corpus of documents, some of which have been labeled to belong to one class, some of which have been labeled to belong to a second class, maybe each of them is labeled to as whether they belong in one of five classes, say, how can I accurately predict the labels of future documents? And so we have a number of people doing work in that area, a lot of grad students. Paul Cantor from the School of Communication Information and Library Studies is a collaborator on this. And so we're doing a lot of work at this, this enabling technology, trying to understand how we can learn from pre-labeled documents, rules for accurately labeling, for example, whether something is a seminar announcement or not, from past email that were labeled as whether or not they're seminar announcements. And there's a lot of interesting work going on in text categorization in various places. There's work going on in AT&T, Bellcor. George Clark has some interesting work by some people there, Marty Burke and others. And I've figured out how much technical detail I can give from versus how much time I can fit. Okay, so let me give an example of one piece of work that's going on here in text categorization. One of our grad students, Dave Longstern, is working on a thesis where what you want to do is you have these two corpora of documents, some of which are seminar announcements, some of which aren't, say, for example. What you do is you take all of your seminar announcements and, you know, most people are probably familiar with these programs that compress files to take up less space. So what you do is you compress all of the seminar announcements, and you compress all the non-seminar announcements totally separately, and each one of them is compressed by some amount. And now what I do is I take this new email message, I want to know whether it's a seminar announcement or not, and I tack it onto the end of all the seminar announcements and compress it. And I tack it onto the end of all my non-seminar announcements and compress it, and I see which one compresses it more. For those of you who are familiar with compression methods, many compression methods do compression by finding certain subsequences in the document that tend to occur a lot, and they replace that sequence with a pointer to a dictionary that contains these commonly occurring phrases. And so the thing that compressed more presumably has more phrases in common than the other one. So it has more similarity, say, to the seminar announcements than to the non-seminar announcements. So this is an example of one of the approaches that's being taken here at Rutgers. Another example of information filtering is something called recommending. And the thing that we're actually looking at is how can I recommend to you movies based on movies you've already told me you liked or disliked. Some of you may be familiar with the Firefly system that's developed by people at the MIT Media Lab, Patty Mays and others. Some of you may know it by his previous name, Ringo, or before that, Homer. And that was a system where you give me a bunch of ratings, say on a scale of 1 to 10, of various pieces of music. And what I do is I go to a library of other people's evaluations of music, and I try to find a number of people whose profile on the music you graded is similar to yours, and see other music that they liked, and recommend that to you. Well, it turns out that rather than having to think about people in music at MIT, we are fortunate that some people at Bellcore have been looking at this for quite a while in the context of movies. So one of our graduate students, Chunky Basu, has been working on this particular problem using some of the data that's been gathered at Bellcore. Like I described, recommending new music to you based on what other people have recommended is something called collaborative filtering, and that's the approach that most people tend to be using. But an alternative approach that could be used is something called content-based filtering. Say, for example, in the context of movies, I happen to know for each movie what the genre of the movie is, what the running time is, what year it was made, who the actors were in it, and so on. Well, the idea of content-based filtering would be to recommend movies to you based on what other movies you've liked, based on the content. So maybe I can figure out that you like Western comedies, or you like all movies written, with screenplays by William Goldman written before 1990, or, you know, things like this. The collaborative filtering has actually nothing to do with the content, just what other people thought about the movie. And this here is instead trying to do some analysis based on knowledge about what each of the movie is about. And so we're doing some work within this area, which is promising, and we're also particularly interested in combining these two different complementary sources of information. Okay, I apologize for the slide. I realized this morning that there was a typo, but just seemed to be appropriate. I thought last night it seemed to be appropriate to have a typo in the word intelligent. So the last example of work I'm going to describe is something called command prediction. So let me give a couple of examples. You're using your favorite menu-driven system, whether it's a Macintosh or Windows or what have you, and almost any computer system has these window-based interface, menu-based interfaces where you have some menu that pops up with a bunch of different choices. Sometimes they're poorly designed, they give you an enormous number of choices, and you're not quite sure what the command is you exactly want. You have to scan through it and try figuring out exactly which command you really want to be doing, which item you want to be selecting. Well, it would be nice if the system was somehow smart and was able to figure out that this particular menu item is the one that you want. Maybe highlighted it for me ahead of time. So that would be what its guess was for what my next question would be. And when the menu comes up, my eyes immediately are attracted to the highlighted part. And if it's right, I can click on it. If it's wrong, I still go through my scanning process, no harm done. So that's a simple example of how if I was able to predict what your next action would be, I can use it to do some sort of intelligent default type thing. So that's a very passive way that learning about a user might be able to help a user in his or her interactions with the computer system. But we can even be a little bit more provocative than that. Now, the term intelligent agent is way overused, but here's an example. But the idea here is the idea of an intelligent agent is an agent is something that somehow is a software entity that can represent your interests and your needs and wants in the computer system, and hopefully it'll be an intelligent agent that will be doing things in some intelligent fashion. Well, imagine I had a system that was able to accurately predict what my future actions would be. Well, it'd be nice to have a system go off and do some of the stuff for me without my explicitly having to say it. So that might be pre-executing commands for me. It might be pre-fetching web pages. If it brings up a page with a certain number of links, if it can guess what my next click is going to be, rather than having to wait for it to load, it may have already loaded it after. So if I have systems that can predict my next command, we can perhaps build more autonomous aspects into these systems. And there's been a number of pieces of work in this area as well that's evocative. There's some work by Ian Witten on something called the reactive keyboard that tries to predict what you're doing at sort of at the character level. And Tom Mitchell at CMU has done some interesting work in this area as well. And so there's also a product, Open Sesame, for the Macintosh that is supposed to be able to predict these sorts of things. But from what I understand, everyone who's used it hates it. So I haven't actually seen it myself yet. So the specific piece of work in this area is something called ILAST, or Inductive Learning Apprentice Shell. This is work that was initially started by an undergraduate who had been in study with me. Did his very first system. One semester, we had something up and running. He's now working at a Wall Street firm. So we then moved on to a graduate student. And so Brian Davidson is currently collaborating with me on this. And the idea is, you want to have a unit shell that accurately predicts what your next command will be. And as in all the examples I've been giving, the approach is to learn from users' past experience. And we're exploring a whole range of possible ways of learning from a user's past interactions with the system to predict what the user's next action will be. One very, very simple example, one of almost the strongest approaches, which actually seems to be doing pretty well, is the following. Yeah, at a particular point in my session with the system, it doesn't have to be Unix. We're doing this in the context of Unix. This approach will apply in other contexts. And I'm trying to predict what the next command will be in this particular situation. So what I do is I look at the previous five commands, say, and find the previous time those five commands happened, and see what the next command call that was, and I'll make that as my prediction. Well, maybe even better than doing five, what I'll do is I'll find the largest prefix to my current position, the largest number of commands that previously occurred in my history, and make a prediction that follows that. And so we've actually been doing some work evaluating a slew of different methods here. Right now, we have about 6 months' worth of data from... We have about 6 months worth of data from Brian and myself, and we're actually currently gathering data from roughly 70 students in one of our undergraduate classes who've been told about this and who have an option that they can turn it on or off if they don't want to have their data collected. And interestingly, of these different methods, in Brian's case, we can do prediction. This is just prediction expand, not the arguments or anything, those who are familiar with Unix. The best case for Brian was over 67% predictive accuracy for the best method, and for me, I tend to be less predictable, I guess, about 35% accuracy, what that's worth. And I got pretty pictures about the data, but I don't have much time for that. If people ask questions, I can say a little bit more about it. But anyway, so let me just wrap up and just sort of reiterate the point of this collection of research is what we want to do is we want to build personal computers, computers that somehow know who you are and react to you. We set up nice environments in which we're just given the mistaken impression that the computer knows who you are. You know, I have a whole bunch of aliases in Unix, certain commands that do a whole lot of things for me, and it looks like it knows who I am, but it doesn't. How can we build systems that really do seem to have some sense of who you are? And the answer we've been exploring is a collection of techniques that try to have the computer learn from you to figure out more and more about you and seem to make your computers more personal to you. Thanks.